What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Second hour of Soccer Matters, we delve into some of the best of Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center is where they're located. 18 TVs, big screens. Houston Liverpool supporters group goes there, but you can watch any soccer matches in there, any athletic events, lots of screens, beautiful brand new pub over there. Of course, they've got all the great beers, the Guinnesses of the world, but their food is wonderful too. Bangers and mash, shepherd's pie. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. You know I talk a lot about our Houston soccer community and how many players and coaches have come from here, administrators that have gone on to really play a big part in the game nationally in this country. Well, here's another one. Recently named the head coach of the University of Connecticut, Chris Bondi.
Chris, thank you very much for coming on the show, making a little time for us on vacation.
No, anytime, Glenn, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, the first thing you said to me is, well, my wife has given me a little time here so I can do a little work, because getting the new job, you're right into it, huh?
Yeah, I know you're right into it. It's just one of those things where we had this vacation planned for close to a year and a half. Imagine me telling her, no, you know, I can't make this trip now with the kids all excited. So, yeah, we're able to do it. Luckily, you know, I have an understanding wife knowing I'm a coach. So she said, hey, you know what, take the first couple hours in the morning, do what you have to do. And then it's all about family after that, which I love. And obviously, the reason we're here anyway is to spend time together.
So before I get into, you know, this amazing appointment at a place you won a national championship, the University of Connecticut, I just want to talk about that because, you know, you've had to bounce around in your career as a coach. You know, Holy Cross, Northeastern, you have stayed kind of on the East Coast, Dartmouth. You put in the time, but it's not easy on a young family, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. I think one of those things when you're done playing, I think there's two ways to go. And I always tell people, right, if you go the pro route, which is probably more crazy, I think you would say, in terms of the, you know, the way the hiring goes and, you know, lose three or four games, you could be out of a job. I think for me, it makes sense of the college route, right? Being able to work with student athletes and teach them and, you know, kind of have an impact on their life, kind of similar to what Coach Reed did to me, right? And all the guys from Houston with Garrett and Eddie and Ryan and Sam Forco, you know, I think he did a good job in working with us. And I think for me, coming to college route was important, but also I knew the first couple of years just trying to, you know, build my resume, get an understanding of the college game is going to be a little bit difficult in the family. But, you know, luckily, like I said, I have understanding wife and the family love going to different places and learning different things. So it's all worked out quite well.
Chris, was there ever any doubt that you were going to remain in the sport of soccer?
I don't know if there was ever a doubt, right? Because I think you're passionate about it. You've done it your whole life. And I'm similar to that, right? Is, you know, I can't imagine waking up in the morning and not thinking about the game, right? So I love the game. I enjoy teaching the game. And I just want to be around it somehow, right? You know what? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I can tell you formations. I can tell you tactics and I can tell you, hey, how to develop players. So I think for me, once you have those things that aligned with what you believe, then I think ultimately this is your passion and, you know, you might as well go after it.
Chris Bondi joining us, named the new head coach of the University of Connecticut. We're going to get to that in a second. You know, let me go back to that because I know you have a lot of gratitude for the game and the way you've gotten to where you are now in your coaching career, which, by the way, is separate from a playing career, right? I mean, this is a second, career in your life and a very influential one at that. the gratitude you have for the game and the things that got you to where you are. There is a sense of humility that I know that you carry.
Well, I think it has to, right? You have to, because I think if I was to say, hey, you know, I did it on my own, I'd be lying to you, right? I think from my dad pushing me every single day, from Olivia Venadori, from yourself, from Tony Johnson, there's just so many different names that have helped me get to where I'm at today, right? And I think for me, it's also important to understand when I go out there and coach, when I go out there, when I was playing for UConn, I wasn't just representing myself, but I was representing all those people that helped me get there. And it's upon me to make sure that, in a way, I make you guys proud because, you know, you put so much time and effort into developing me as a young man and develop me as a person. So I want to do the same thing to other young men that I'm, you know, fortunate enough to coach.
When you were growing up in Houston with all the players going into Major League Soccer, and there were guys before you, the Ahmad Babas and the Johnny Torreses, and we can go on with a lot of names here, and forgive me for forgetting some of them, but we have a long list. There was, I felt when I was coaching youth soccer, that there was a real sense of Houston soccer pride. Did you get that when you were growing up?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I think the biggest thing we always try to do in Houston was compete against Dallas, right? Just kind of have that rivalry, the I-45 rivalry. You know, it's like every time we get together with the Texans or another team from Dallas, is like to showcase Houston soccer, right? Because I think back then, even though those guys were going into the league, there's always like a, you know, Houston is just okay kind of thing. And I think we wanted to prove that wrong. And I think we did a decent job of that. And I think the next phase now, is to get Houston soccer back on the map because there's so many quality players there. It's just a matter of getting them an opportunity to showcase themselves, which hopefully with myself being a head coach and some other guys growing up in Houston, like Johnny over at Creighton, we can start to see that, you know, moving forward again, like it back in the day.
Well said. Chris Bondi joining us, named the new head coach of UConn. Okay, so you take over a program that the man you're taking over the job from is a legendary college soccer coach. He recruited you relentlessly, and I can attest to that. Rest assured, I had a few lunches in Houston with Ray Reed, and I got a bunch of Christmas cards from the UConn athletic department pretty repeatedly. Yeah. I think I still have those, actually.
That's funny.
But, you know, tell me about when this came down, how you got the job, how you learned of it, and then take us into what an unbelievable opportunity this is for you.
Yeah, no, I think anytime you're replacing a legend like Ray Reed, right, you know you're in for a tough cooking kind of. Yeah, he's been around for so long. He's established himself within the game. And I think for me is making sure, and I think that's what was important for me, my early stages of my career, to go and kind of establish myself and learn what I was good at, things I needed to work on, because anytime you're taking over a legend, it's important to have yourself established in terms of how you are as a coach. So I think I have a good understanding of that. But in saying that, you know, anytime you're taking over a guy that's been there for 25 years and everybody knows Ray Reed as UConn soccer, right? And I think for me, it's just making sure that I come in and try to be myself and do what I have to do to kind of, you know, keep the program in a positive light. So yeah, we have our work cut out for us. You know, there's a lot of good, obviously, teams in the Big East, and we understand it's going to be a tough conference every single year. But I do have faith in my ability to recruit and to develop players. And I think if we have certain guys that believe in what we're trying to do here, which I think we will, I think we'll be successful in the long run.
Chris, how would you describe yourself as a coach now that you've developed? You know, you've been in this a while now. You're a veteran. You've put the time in. You've put the work in. You've had all these experiences in life. You've been coached by a ton of different people. When you put it all together, what type of a coach is Chris Bondi?
Yeah, no, I think the key word I always like to use, and I use with my players, I think I'm a work in progress, right? And I think as a good coach, you're always working and developing on your philosophy and your, you know, your mentality in terms of how you want to see things. I think what I've figured out, that I'm more of an up-tempo type of coach, right? Because I think you got the Barcelona of the worlds, you got the Man City of the worlds, and I think I'm more of the Liverpool of the world, where, you know, fast pace, high intensity, let's go after it, let's set the pace. And I think that's something you learn as you go through. And the more, you know, the more I'm involved with players and the more I'm teaching and developing them, I think that's kind of where I side on in terms of being a coach, to say, hey, you know what? There's no, especially a place at Northeastern, right? And a lot of times it's almost that mentality to say, okay, you know, we're going to sit back and take it. And I think for me, kind of switch in to say, hey, no, we're going to push the game. We're going to go after them. We're going to press teams. And I think we'll be able to do similar things at UConn.
Chris Bondi joining us, now named the head coach of the University of Connecticut, was at Northeastern since 2016. That's quite a long time you were there. I mean, that's got to be tough leaving there as well.
No, it was, it's tough, right? Because you have a lot of those student athletes that, you know, came along, and help us rebuild the place, right? Because we took over, it was a difficult place, right? I think obviously every program that you take over as a young coach, it becomes a bit difficult, right? To come in and establish yourself. And so much of those players, you know, believed in us and gave us an opportunity to work with them and helped us build, what we think Northeastern soccer is going to be in the next couple of years, which is possibly an NCAA, you know, NCAA team and even a Sweet 16 team, right? Because the amount of talent we have on that group. So yeah, I think 6 years, but then if you look at the 6 years, it wasn't all rosy, right? I took my lumps. You know, I got beat up. I like to say I got beat up, you know, early stages of my career, but I think that prepared me now for what I'm about to face, right? Because it wasn't, hey, you know what? I just won all the time. So if I go through some difficult times at UConn, I wouldn't know how to handle it. I know how it feels like to stand in front of the group, you know, after a tough loss and tell them, hey, you know what? Still believe we're going to be in the right frame of mind, we'll figure things out. Then I also know what it feels like to celebrate a big victory. So I think all those things will help me as I take, you know, the next step of my career, which is getting to UConn.
All right. You won a national title in 2000 with four of your teammates here from Houston. How has the college game changed to you now that here we are in 2021 heading into 2022?
Yeah, I think there's more. I think there's more parity, right? I think back then, you know, maybe scholarship limits, maybe, you know, the soccer scene wasn't as big. And obviously you didn't have the MLS. You didn't have, you know, the European influx that we have now. So it was more balance. And I know the 2000 guys, especially guys from Houston, don't want to hear that because they thought, you know, we were obviously the best team ever to play the game. But yeah, I think the game is more balanced now. There's more teams that are challenging for championships. And I think that's a big part of it. But then also if you look at, you know, back then, if you're a young American player, you're going to college, right? So you had all the top American players playing in college, whereas now you have some of those guys going overseas and even obviously going straight to the MLS. So that's changed quite a bit. And then on the reverse side of that, you have a lot of young, talented European players seeing the value of the education and now are coming to the U.S. So I think now it opens up for a lot of teams that maybe don't have the quote-unquote the big names in the Power Fives to then get, you know, an influx of Europeans and then start to make a name for themselves, like you saw with Marshall and some other guys the last couple of years.
Chris Bondi joining us here again, named the head coach at the University of Connecticut. So I'm gonna put this one out here right now. I'm expecting you to be recruiting Houston athletes to bring them to the Northeast. So is Houston, you know, with your knowledge of it and knowing the club system down here and the talent that comes out of here, I assume you're going to do some recruiting here.
Oh, of course. Of course. I'll be crazy not to, right? I think there's so many talented players down there. I think my staff and I, when we get assembled, is to, you know, start calling some of the club coach down there. He's like, you know, who do you have that we can come take a look at? So yeah, I actually have two players from Houston on my Northeastern team, you know, so those guys are obviously guys that we recruited and scouted. And for me, you know, coming to Houston and getting quality players out of there is, you know, is an important piece of what we're going to try to do it at UConn. So yeah, we'll be on the phone calling right away to get some of those guys up in the Northeast.
Do you feel pressure? You know, because look, you're replacing a legend. This is a legendary college program going back to when I was a kid and Joe Maroney was the head coach. I mean, everybody knew the University of Connecticut. It's an incredible program. You have an indelible part of its history, having led it to a national championship. Yeah, how do you keep that all sort of under control? You got, I believe, a brand new stadium or a stadium being built now, the marketing, you've got all these friends of the UConn soccer program. You've got a tremendous alumni support. Yeah. How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, no, I think pressure is part of the job, right? I think pressure is ultimately part of the job. And I think you welcome that pressure, right? Because if you're in an environment where there's no pressure, then I think in a way you might, you know, slack off or think, hey, you know what, I'm doing everything I need to do, right? I think you get to UConn and you get to a Final Four, if I'm fortunate enough to do within the next 3 or 4 years, and we don't win a national championship, the first guys I'm getting calls from are the alums saying, hey, you know, why didn't you win the national championship? So yeah, you know, I think pressure is something that I think we all live for and want in this job. And I think ultimately for me is understanding that I am part of the alumni base as well, right? So I'm putting pressure myself to be successful, because if I'm not, I'm sure the first guys to call me up would be Garrett. Hey, you need to get out of the seat, you know, or Eddie, get out of the seat, or
Sam. Garrett Grinsfelder or Jeff.
Yeah, would definitely tell me, right? And all these guys. So yeah, the pressure is there, but I think it's something we all welcome in our profession, right? So I'm looking forward to it. And I think obviously I've, like I said, my, you know, background in terms of going through the paces from Holy Cross to Dartmouth to Northeastern will ultimately help me deal with the pressure of UConn.
Well, you've 100% did the work. Congratulations. It's an amazing, great opportunity. I'm really looking forward to watching you from the coaching position at UConn, Chris. Now, before I let you go, you're in the U.S. Virgin Islands. It's some of the, it's one of the most beautiful places going, as we know. I've got family down there, so I want to know what you think of the island so far.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The water, I'm looking right now. If I look to my left, the water, you know, I can see all the way down to the bottom. So it's been great just being out here with the family, you know, and spending some time together. Cause I think they know once I go back into the, you know, into the U.S., everything changes, right? In terms of just getting the ground running and trying to get our staff together, trying to get, obviously get on the recruiting trail. So, yeah, it's been unbelievable just down here with them and spending this time together.
Yeah. You told me you were at Megan's Bay, which is one of the most beautiful bays in the world. And there's many of them, but it's right. A beautiful spot. And you told me your kids really like that beach is great because I mean, the white sand, it's just remarkable.
Yeah, the kids didn't want to leave, right? We had to tell them, hey, it was like around, you know, 6 o'clock. It was like, we got to go. They didn't want to leave. But I think we're going to try to even go back there, I think, tomorrow again, because they just loved it so much. So, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the program. I'm sure a lot of people from Houston will have enjoyed this interview with you. Best of luck at Connecticut. Everybody's still following you and supporting you down here. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, I appreciate it again. Thank you so much for having me. And everybody in Houston, you know, I obviously, bottom of my heart, I really appreciate all the support.
Wonderful interview there with Chris Bondi, and we wish him the best of luck at the University of Connecticut. And, of course, with Ray Reed coming down here and recruiting five guys and them winning the national championship led by Bondi, the University of Connecticut will always be linked to Houston, Texas. And we have supplied colleges and universities and pro teams with a multitude of players. Now we continue to do it with coaches. All right, Advantage BMW. I've driven one for years. I've leased, I've bought from them. Advantage BMW in Midtown is like no other. They will take care of you. Sales, service, finance, they can do it real, real easy. A good friend of mine just went down there and picked up a BMW this past weekend. Now, I've leased and I've bought. I've been in a sedan. I've been in an X5. I absolutely love the vehicles. They are the ultimate driving machine. So get yourself in a 3, a 5, a 7 Series, an X3, or an X5. You do it at Advantage BMW in Midtown. You go down there and say hello to Justin. You go down there and you say hello to Steven. Get that Houston hometown advantage. Advantage BMW Midtown. Stay with us. More to come here on Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Reminder, hit me up on Twitter, Soccer Matters GD, or at Glenn Davis Soc. And again, the same thing on Instagram, at Soccer Matters GD, or at Glenn Davis Soc. You can also head over to the Facebook page, Soccer Matters, and or check out a little bit of my history at glenndavissoccer.com so you can legitimize who loves getting on the air each and every week talking about the great game of soccer slash football that we all love so much here in Houston, Texas. And here's to hoping that we get announced as a World Cup 2026 host city in the coming year. All right. Our next interview presented by FM Kitchen and Bar. They got two locations, one on Montrose and Westheimer in that area right down there. That's their brand new location. I go to the one north of Washington Avenue on Shepherd, FM Kitchen and Bar. Tremendous burgers, voted number one by the Houston Press. Chicken sandwiches, all kinds of very healthy salads. But here's the kicker. You get the great craft cocktails there as well. They got all kinds of things going on during the week. Steak nights, beautiful outdoor beer garden. Go over there, say hello to Jason. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. Joining us now, President of the Houston Dynamo, John Walker. John, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You bet, Glenn. Always happy to do it.
Well, I know it's a very busy and a very, very quick offseason, a month away from players coming back into preseason. A lot going on. I'm going to have to ask you one of the most obvious questions I think that's probably out there that fans want to know, and that is, what's the coach hire situation look like, and what's the timeline if you have one?
Yeah, well, our timeline all along was to try and get somebody in place before before the holidays, before the end of the year, in fact. And we're still on track to accomplish that. We've talked to some great prospective coaches. We've narrowed it down, I think, to the finalists here. And I think we're just hopefully just days away from making an announcement.
So for you and Pat, is it difficult? And maybe it might even be slightly a little bit more difficult for him, putting a roster together as far as making deals. You know, is that a little bit delayed on trying to get players simply because you want to get the coach in place and to maybe get his blessings?
Yeah, I think when it comes to new acquisitions, you know, certainly you'd like to have your head coach to play a part in making those decisions. And so we have put a few of those conversations on pause while we, you know, name a head coach. But I think in terms of the rest of the roster and the decisions that had to be made on options that we had, contracts that were expiring, I think, Pat came in and assessed that very quickly. And has made most, if not all, of those decisions about what the roster will look like from the previous list of guys that were on the squad. But certainly, as you mentioned, we want our head coach to have a voice and a hand in what the entirety of the roster looks like for 2022.
He's Dynamo President John Walker. Are there any other? And I'm not asking you to name names or anything, but are there any other qualities that are very much going to stand out in the type of coach that's hired, maybe that you can give the fan base?
Yeah, I think the list of criteria that Pat put together, will, along with some of the rest of the technical staff and Ted Siegel, quite honestly, included somebody preferably with MLS experience, either as a player or a coach or both. Somebody, potentially, it's always a plus in our market and in MLS to have somebody who speaks Spanish, somebody who is big on driving a positive culture and a winning culture within an organization. So, you know, people who've had experience in winning situations like Pat has had, is certainly those kinds of qualities have bubbled to the top.
John Walker, Dynamo President, joining us. We appreciate it, John. I know it's a very busy off season for you, and you've been doing a lot of work with the NWSL as well to add to it. Let's talk about the re-signing of Darwin Quintero. And let's face it, it wasn't the easiest year for the club last year, was not the easiest year for Darwin Quintero. He did have some pretty obvious fitness issues and things. Take us into that signing. We know how highly talented he is. The question mark maybe from the outside would be, how bought in will he be?
Yeah, well, Pat, you know, that was one of the first conversations Pat had when he came on board was with the decisions, the folks whose decisions we need to make on keeping them or not. And, you know, he spent some good time with Darwin, and Darwin, I think, really likes playing here in Houston. He knows that as he's gotten a little older, that maybe his skills aren't what they used to be. And so, he'll be more of a spot player, I think. And he's come to terms with that, and it'll be good to see him out there, because, you know, sometimes he's really magical when he has the ball.
Well, we'll go back to that Seattle game, and I think we all enjoyed that night very, very heavily, and I think the owner, Ted Siegel, did as well. All right, let me just give you an open-ended one, because, you know, you're a creative thinker, you're a creative guy. Just maybe some things off the top of your head this year that could be a little bit innovative that maybe the fans can be expecting, looking forward to. Anything from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, we spent a good deal of time during the middle of last season, you know, thinking about what 2022 could look like for our fans and for the stadium, and knowing that we had some big hires, you know, to make with a GM and a head coach. From a stadium perspective, you know, we have gone ahead and we've started a couple of projects here this off season that'll create some new premium spaces. We have a pitch zone and a sports deck, which are going to be on the south end above the tunnel and next to the tunnel where the players come out. Those two seating options will have sort of tabletops in front of them, kind of a loge box feel, and a different kind of food and beverage offering. So it's kind of a unique product for us, and actually a great vantage point of the pitch. If you've ever stood down there in the Heineken Star Bar and watched a little bit, you know that can be really exciting, especially when the ball is on that end of the pitch. So that's something that we're introducing. And then I think we've talked a couple times about introducing safe standing for our supporters up on the north end. It's something that they've been asking for since the stadium was open, quite frankly. And, we got, When Ted came in, it was one of the first things he committed to do, I think, during his opening press conference, was we're going to have safe standing for our supporters. And so that project is going on as well. So there'll be a couple of new things that you'll be able to see this year when you come into the stadium. I think, you know, from a local broadcast partnership perspective, that contract was up. And so we're talking with local broadcast companies about what that might look like. And I think we're very close on an announcement there, probably right after the first of the year. That I think fans will be excited about, may include some streaming options too, which is something that we've heard from fans that they, you know, they'd like to have the opportunity to view our matches, you know, via streaming. And then the league made, MLS made the announcement a week or so ago, Glenn, about the MLS Next Pro, U23, league, which is new for 2022. We've raised our hands. We're one of 20 MLS clubs who are going to be participating, along with an independent club here in 2022. And so, behind the scenes, you know, Pat's not only working on the first team and the head coach for the first team, but we've got a new U23 team that we're going to be introducing as well. And it's going to be something that fans can take advantage of in terms of coming and down to the stadium and watching some of our younger talent. I think you'll see some players who are kind of, you know, spend some time with the first team, some time with the U23s. So there'll be, you know, there'll be MLS caliber talent playing in that league. And it gives us, you know, a way of introducing soccer, maybe at a lower price point, for some fans. So you should, you know, you can expect to see some innovative things there. We have a great new kit we're going to be introducing in mid-February, which is always a fan favorite to see what the new kit looks like. And this one's pretty special. So those things are new, will be new for 2022. I think given the schedule for the World Cup, which this year begins in November, MLS Cup will be, I think, November the 5th. So we're working towards a decision day of, you know, when you back up the schedule of October 9th, knock wood, provided we don't get any interruptions in our schedule. So, MLS Cup will be ending a little earlier this year than it has the last couple of years when it's been pushed into December. So that'll be slightly different. And I think also from a league scheduling perspective, the League's Cup, although, you know, we were a participant in the first League's Cup and then they had it last year, I think the MLS is going to put that on pause for 2022 and maybe bring it back in 2023. So that won't be something we'll be, you know, participating in, because the league's going to revamp that, maybe introduce more teams when they bring that in. And then also within MLS, new for 2022 is the 28th team, you know, FC or Charlotte FC. And they'll actually be coming to Houston on Sunday, July 3rd, which will be almost like a Saturday night, because I'm guessing folks will have Monday off. And so we'll be doing fireworks after that game. And that should be a lot of fun with their first visit to Houston.
John, yeah, that's exciting. That's great stuff. Just take me back to the supporters groups and how much work are you guys doing with them to kind of try to grow their membership and get them to become a little bit bigger in mass and in numbers and working together?
Yeah, well, we, you know, as you may remember, we started the alliance a couple of years ago with the support, different supporter groups coming together and trying to have a meeting of the minds about how to do just that, about how to grow the membership, grow the impact that they can have on the matches. They branded themselves Hustle Town. We've kind of run with that in terms of some of the signage down at the stadium. And we were really off to a great start in 2020 for that first match against the Galaxy. And they had their first march to the match where they started through some of the pubs down there in Edo. And it was awesome to see. And then we got hit by the COVID bug, you know. And so that kind of puts some of those things that they had been working so hard and together on in terms of kind of rituals and really kind of developing more of a presence, put some of that stuff on hold. But we continue to work with them, meet with them on a regular basis. I think they're excited about Pat being on board and sort of a fresh look at the club this coming season. And we will have many more meetings with them ahead of our opening match, which is, as you know, on February 27th against Real Salt Lake.
Looking forward to that one. That's a lot closer than we think. I have. I know you know that, but I'm thinking about that myself here. Talking to John Walker, the Dynamo president. Any more that has come out on the scouting system, and how much travel has Pat been doing? Because obviously, you know, Dynamo GM Pat Onstad not only is entrusted with helping get this club a coach, but, you know, he's probably doing a lot of traveling, I assume. Can you lead us into that a little bit, and maybe the scouting network?
Yeah, he has. And we, it's interesting you say that, because we've had a couple of meetings about the budget, the scouting budget. And that's one of the things that, that he's made clear to Ted and ownership, where we need to have more investment. And so, in addition to building out the coaching staff, he's looking at adding, you know, scouting talent as well. And that can come in a couple of different forms. It can come in full-time scouts. It can come in relationships with folks who live, you know, in other countries and in some sort of management fee type, arrangement. And I think he's, you know, he's exploring both of those. He's been on the road a bunch. I know he's been to Mexico. I know he's been to South America, maybe a couple different times. And then just within the States, he's had, you know, several trips as well as we've been, you know, interviewing coaches and doing those kinds of things. So he's actually been on the road a little bit here in his first 6-8 weeks for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's taken a deep, you know, overview of the club at all the levels, the relationship in the youth community, the academy, and all that. So my gut is he's going to have a lot of influence in those areas, as well as you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we all welcome that. He's got such great history here and a track record of success that we want him to be involved in all facets of the, certainly the soccer, and his title would warrant that. But I think just his experience level here also, you know, means it's really vital to us to tap into that. You know, as we talk about the roster, Glenn, I know, you know, you and I have spoken before about, you know, Ted and his willingness to spend, and improve the quality of the talent on the pitch for us. And I would want to make sure that our fans understand that that is likely to come over a little bit of time versus it being, you know, January 1, suddenly, you know, we're spending multi-millions more on player talent. And it's because, and Pat put this well during his interview, you have to get the right pieces at the right time, and kind of at the right cadence. Because if you don't, then you can really knock off your chemistry, and you can get guys in here who have a certain skill set who don't, they, you know, they can't come out of the gate being successful unless they have the supporting pieces around them. So it will be very thoughtfully done. I know there's a lot of discussion right now about DPs, what that looks like. That's part of the reason Pat's been doing the traveling that he's been doing. But I would just, you know, I would just caution everybody that there are multiple transfer windows across a, you know, we'll have one here coming up this in January, and then there'll be one in the summer too. And so I would think over the course of a couple of these transfer windows, now that Pat is on board and Ted's in place, I think you'll definitely see some movement.
And I know Pat spoke a lot about what I think can be a very effective tool, the under 22 initiative.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a new lever that teams have, that they can, utilize to bring in, you know, really top quality talent and hopefully talent that you can see develop. And then, you know, they can be very valuable assets down the road.
Well, John, listen, as always, we thank you very much. That's a lot of information packed into about 15, 16 minutes. We appreciate it. I'm sure I'll get some sort of note says, why didn't you ask this? Not Mr. Davis, but Glenn. So for whatever those questions are, we'll get you on again and we'll get those asked to you. But thank you as always for coming on the program.
You bet, Glenn. Have a good holiday. And to all your listeners, happy holidays out there. And I look forward to speaking with you right after January 1st.
Yeah, right back at you, Don. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you.
So that was Dynamo president John Walker, and we very much appreciate how open and candid John Walker, the president of the Houston Dynamo, has been. That was brought to you by Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. You get over there, they got the beautiful brand, the Stressless. I have one of those in front of the TV, just super comfortable. Check out the Stressless. They've got jazz leather recliners. All kinds of different things there. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. You can give them a call at 713-782-4911. DanishInspirations.com. Our great friend Jan Christensen. You get over there. Jan talks about the Danish national team and has provided us with some great commentary on the show as well. It's Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. 713-782-4911, DanishInspirations.com. Stay with us. More to come on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
These are the sounds of a dinner. But not just any dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. Because without food, it can't. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations to the COVID-19 Relief Fund are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Your help is needed now more than ever, and every dollar makes a difference. That's feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. On behalf of Feeding America and families nationwide, thank you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the show tonight is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, there are presenting sponsors both here in Houston and in Austin on Soccer Matters. In Austin, we're on the horn. So you can always go over there. We have different topics over there and different interviews and a little bit more geared towards Austin FC when it comes to MLS. But we got to really thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for getting soccer on the airwaves both here in Houston and in Austin. He's done it for years. Big personal thank you during the holidays always, and gratitude to John and his law firm. So if you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, maybe you drive an 18-wheeler, I would hope you would use the Daspit Law Firm and consider it. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. John and his firm are going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. You'll get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, and they are the presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters on both ESPN 97.5 and on the horn in Austin, Texas. All right. Earlier, we did catch up with Pat Onstad when he first got named the general manager of this club. And Pat laid it out very, very clearly about some of the things that he is interested in implementing with the Houston Dynamo, changing the culture, what he wants in a coach, amongst a lot of other things. Here's the interview with Dynamo GM, Pat Onstad. Pat, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on again, Glenn.
All right. You. What I love about you is you can volley anything off you. So we're going to do about 12 minutes here. We're going to go boom, boom, boom. We're going to volley stuff off you. Okay, give us an update on the coaching search.
Yeah, well, we're still moving forward. I think we've had some really interesting conversations, and we were pretty broad in what we were looking for, not looking for, but pretty broad in terms of our search. Went across the pond, went south, stayed in the United States and in Canada and stuff. So I'm pretty happy with the fact that we've had a broad look and a lot of conversations with a lot of people from different backgrounds and had different ideas. I think when you go through these interview processes, you have an idea. You have on the side, you think, hey, this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And then what eventually happens is you narrow it down through speaking to enough people and thinking about how they're going to fit with your team, that you definitely realize, okay, is it a methodology piece? Is it a culture piece? Is it a leadership piece? You know, what are you really need for this group at this point in time? Because sometimes you go in with an idea like, hey, I think I need this. And then as you start talking through it, you understand it becomes a little clearer as you move through the process. So I'd say one of the biggest things for us is we come through this, and the one we've been going through back and forth, and I think this applies to the entire Houston Dynamo organization and certainly the technical side, the soccer side, is any candidate, it's non-negotiable, should want to improve and to win. Non-negotiable. You know, whether that's a head coach, whether it's assistant coach, whether it's a video analyst, whether it's a general manager, is that we're here to try to improve not only the club, but yourself, and then to win games. Like, our whole purpose here is to try to compete for championships. And that's what I've been selling. I know we have a ton of work to do. I'm not saying, hey, next year we're MLS Cup favorites. I think we know that. I think that's blowing smoke up certain areas we don't want to talk about. But I do think that going through this process, and I enjoyed it for myself too. When I went through the process for this, I had spoke to some other teams about a possible GM position. And the farther you go through this, the clarity, it becomes very clear on who you are or what you're looking for. I've really enjoyed this process so far. And we're getting close to the finish line. We're not quite there yet, but we're moving forward. And I'm really happy with the candidates that we have.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us. All right, you used the word collaborative. You want it to be a coach that's collaborative.
Yep.
My sense is that if this is a coach from Mexico or maybe outside of the country, a lot of times they're not the most collaborative guys. Are you talking with people like that? Like,
yes,
getting a lot from fans about Nacho Ambriz, Tuca Ferretti, yep, Antonio Mohamed. I can go on and on. Paco Palencia.
Yep.
So take us into that a little bit, because
it's funny, all
a lot
those
of
names
people
are
jazzed
here, huh?
About that.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting that all those names are there too. So they're on our list as well. But what I would say is, it's difficult. It was certainly difficult for us to have someone come in and say, hey, I have nine staff members and in you come. That's not the club that I want to lead. The club I want to lead is, you still need people that work for the club, you know, whether it's a high performance director and Paul Caffrey, or a goalkeeper coach that has done a really good job, and Paul Rogers from the grassroots all the way up to the first team and helping the academy, and, you know, bringing two good goalkeeper coaches in the academy in. You know, those are guys for me that they put the club first and foremost. And those are the people you need working for the club. But so if you just go and hire another group that brings in, I have my goalkeeper coach, I have my high performance director, I have, you know, this and that. Now what you've generated is, now you have just little sections and little silos. So that's their technical group. You know, Pat, stay out of the way. We know what we're doing. We're coaches. You just go manage. You just give us the players. We're fine. And that's not what I want. I also don't want to be a GM that sits here and says, here's your roster, go coach it. I want to say, what do you think we're missing? I have ideas. This is what I think we're missing. What do you think? Okay, well, we'll disagree. You think that player is good enough? Great. Then let's go. Let's leave that position out. But I want a coach and a technical staff that are fully invested in the recruitment side. And that's, so a lot of these guys actually eliminate themselves as soon as we start the conversation. And I'm sure there are fans out there say, why wouldn't you do that? Take the experts. They know what they're doing. Well, I'd like to say I've been in the league now since 2003. I think I have a pretty good idea of what works in this league. So I also think my expertise to be isolated is a waste. And I think, you know, Ted and Lyle and John would probably look back and go, why do we hire Pat if he's just going to go hire someone else that's going to be the expert? You know, so I want to be able to work with people. I want to have successes together. And I, you know, we'll also have some stumbling blocks and some failures along the way, but I also want to be part of that. I don't want to point fingers. You know, I want to be inclusive. If we're not doing well, that's on me as well. So that's the way I look at it. And I think I think you and I talked about this, Glenn. I'm rambling. I apologize for people out there. Okay. But the issue for me is, I think part of it comes from my background. You know, I have an education degree. I was a teacher for a little while. I retired back in the 90s to teach for a year. And I just understand kind of, I think that if you really want to, it's what's the Chinese proverb? I'm trying to remember, where if you tell somebody something, they'll understand it. If you show them this one, but if you let them figure it out themselves, then they'll remember it forever, you know. And that's, I believe in that. I believe in that wholeheartedly. And that includes coaching. That's hard to do, to set up a training session that will help teach what you, a concept you want, and then have them figure it out, solve the problem on the field themselves. Once you have a soccer player that can do that, I mean, that's different level. And so for me, that starts from the top. If we have problems and, you know, we need to come together and try to solve them together and find solutions together, rather than somebody just kind of saying, dictating from the top, saying, this is what you're doing, this is how it's being run.
Pat Onstad joining us here on Soccer Matters, Daspit Law Firm. So am I reading this right, that the sense here is that you would like a younger, a coach with a big ceiling, a younger guy that's going to work with everybody potentially? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's very fair to say. That's exactly what I would be looking for. I mean, certainly the ones that are down to the final candidates, those are the profiles that we're looking at.
Interesting. You have shown that there is an affinity to Mexico. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people in the past here in this organization that have said, oh, we can't get the Mexican fan. That's what they tell us at Major League Soccer. We haven't gone after them. We haven't really cultivated them. We haven't tilled the soil with them. You seem to be very different on that end. You seem to be interested in the Mexican player and the Mexican coach.
Yeah, I don't. I can't speak for the people in the past, and to be honest, I haven't really understood like whether they have or have not. But what I would say is our league is now at the point where we, and I've gone on the record, it says before, we can now start competing for the Mexican player or the player that plays in Liga MX. You know, so before in the past 5 years ago, our league, it was very difficult. You know, there was very few guy players that we could pluck out of that league. You know, the Santos brothers. I mean, that took huge DP salaries for both of them to be able to get them out. So. Unless you were willing to commit to that and say, like, this is my team, this is my number one player, this is my star, those are the only guys you were kind of pulling out. Now I think you can see, you know, that you can start pulling out some players from that league without going into the strategy. Maybe they're TAM players, maybe they're youth designated players. I think it's still difficult for the young Mexican player, the under 20, under 23 player that is young, because they still see Liga MX has a good history of develop those young guys and they jump straight to Europe. So for them to say, well, is it really an advantage for me to go to MLS and then jump to Europe? Or is it easier for me just to stay here and go? But maybe you can find them from smaller clubs, you know, and those guys from smaller clubs might go and go from there. So it's an interesting profile and an interesting league. I think it's finally opened up for us. When I say us, I mean MLS. And certainly for the Dynamo, it makes a lot of sense when you can fly to Mexico City in less than 2 hours. I mean, it's very convenient. It's certainly not like flying from Columbus to Mexico City, let me tell you.
Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad here. Last one, Pat. I'm going to stick true to my.
Right, I've got construction going on here, I guess.
I got to be strict to my time with you here. This is the last one. I just want to ask you about the roster and will there be more deal making? I know you had these very difficult decisions, whether to take options or decline options and all of that, which is very difficult. Will there be a lot of wheeling and dealing, and how much at this moment roster turnover could Dynamo fans maybe expect?
Yeah, there'll be some turnover, and there'll probably be some movement. I don't think at this stage, until we get a coach in place, I don't want to go and rock the boat, just toss guys in and out. But some of the guys are we're still talking to that we didn't pick up their options based on salary considerations. You know, some are on big numbers to pick up their options. So this is normal. It goes around the league. They'll also get offers. Some of these guys will now become free agents. And before we can get to them or give them an offer that they're happy with, they'll get more money somewhere else and they'll go there. And I think for us, if a player is valued more at another club, and, you know, from a financial standpoint and an opportunity standpoint, you know, we wish them well, and I think that's a good opportunity for them. I think the most important thing is any player that plays is you just want to be wanted and appreciated at your club. So the guys we held on to, the options we extended, guys we're talking to are guys that we want in our club and in our environment, in our culture. And those guys that get opportunities elsewhere, we're excited for them as well. And hopefully their future, you know, takes off, and we're never going to be a team that sits here and says, oh, I hope that guy's career is a disaster. No, that's not true. I hope they all go on and find the right place. Some guys succeed in different environments. So it's important that a player is a very short lifespan, contrary to mine. But for the most part, it's a short lifespan playing time. So you want the guys to be in the best environment possible for themselves.
Yeah, not to be blunt here, but some of the players who you declined options on, I mean, you don't want them back because.
Yes, no, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. And for whatever reason, sometimes it's performance. Sometimes it's they had lack of opportunity here too. Like that, if there's no opportunity, there's no point in keeping a player around. And that, you know, the other one is sometimes guys in the roster have performed well and they've been able to kind of rise up a bit. And then you look at the cost analysis of the two players and you go, listen, we think they're pretty similar. Why are we paying this guy X amount of dollars when we can get this guy for Y? And it's a little cheaper option. And also this guy looks like he's on the upswing while the other guy's on the downswing. And listen, we don't get I'm going to be first to say this. We will not get everyone correct. We will not get everyone correct. We try. But I promise you, out of some of the guys we waive, there'll be people out there saying, what is he thinking? And they'll go off and do well. Hopefully not against us in the one or two games they play against us, but that's the reality. And, you know, we'll make mistakes along the way, but I think everything we're trying to do again, and I'll go back to the last kind of, I know we're about to wrap up here, but what I'll say is go back to is we're trying to improve the team and we're trying to win.
Pat, they had to be very difficult decisions, especially not having the coach in place. Last one, the competitive side of your organization and you, will you add any other individuals to that to help you overseeing the competitive side and working on the competitive side?
Yes, we should have, we should be adding a big piece that'll work closely with me in the next few weeks. We should be able to announce it. I think it might have to wait about 3 weeks, but we're excited about that. It was a person that I'd been after before I even got this job. So I'm excited about that. And he's got a great mind for how a club should be run. And it's a gentleman that I've worked with in the past as well. So I'm excited about that.
Your right-hand guy per se, or?
Yes. I mean, but I would also say Nick Kolba is my right-hand guy as well. So I think we're going to have a right and a left, maybe a right and a left-hand.
Yeah, that's even better.
But, you know, it's important. I think Nick Kolba's done a great job here. He also did the interim kind of GM role, which I know I'd had in Columbus, and that can be very tricky. It seems like, it's only you just sit there in the seats. No problem. No, you've got to deflect a lot. You've got to make decisions and make sure you're making decisions that don't affect the club in the future. It's not an easy position, and Nick did a fantastic job for us.
Excellent. Pat, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for being so candid. Great stuff here for Dynamo fans, and I appreciate you as always coming on the show and being so open.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right, so that does it for Soccer Matters here tonight. Big thank you to Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. We're looking for a lot of good things in 2022, and boy, I love the fact that the Dynamo will be playing with their under-23 league right here in Houston, so people can watch the up-and-coming talent. More importantly, though, for player development, it is a huge deal because the Dynamo and their staff can monitor players locally. All right. As always, the show brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So a big thank you to John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You give them a call, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, or DaspitLaw.com. Hit me up on Twitter, at SoccerMattersGD, at Glenn Davis Soc. Also on Instagram, at Soccer Matters GD, at Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook, Soccer Matters. And of course, if you want to find out a little bit more, glenndavissoccer.com. For the legendary producer, Andrew Carlson, I'm Glenn Davis. Keep enjoying your holidays. And until next week, remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.